If you're enjoying the Teas Made podcast, I would love for you to check out my blog, which is also called The Teas Made. We're doing something called the So Slow Book Club, where I'm writing about the same book all year long, and I'm writing regular essays on everything from sending kids to college to why and what I'm loving creating in the kitchen these days. When you subscribe for free, you'll get my posts in your email inbox, or you can jump in on the conversation over at my page. I also have some optional goodies for paid subscribers that you're going to want to check out too. Spring is here, and I have a long list of topics I'm planning to cover. Everything from updated skincare recommendations to some recipes for fun spring-themed beverages. Come join the conversation about connection and creativity at theteasmade.com. Hi, friend. You're listening to the Teas Made podcast, and I'm so glad you're here. I'm Megan Francis, a writer and a midlife mom of five living in Michigan. In this podcast, we'll talk about some of my favorite things like books, creativity, outdoor adventure, and of course, warm beverages. And I'll share practices that can help you infuse your home, work, and family life with a sense of intention, comfort, and connection. The tea's made, so settle in, get comfortable, and let's chat. There have been times in my life when I looked extremely productive. When I was back in the stage, when I had a bunch of kids home with me, it seemed like I was able to get an absolutely crazy amount of stuff done. I was often working on 4 or 5 freelance projects. I wrote a handful of books. I was regularly blogging and creating content for social media, all at the same time that my life was really packed with raising little kids. People would say to me all the time, "Wow, how do you get it all done?" Well, fast forward 10 or 15 years, and I don't get that question as much anymore. And I have to say, sometimes I get a little frustrated with myself when it seems like I'm not getting as much done as it would seem like I'm capable of. I mean, I got so much done before, right? Well, all of this has gotten me thinking a little more deeply about the whole idea of productivity, what it used to mean to me, and how that definition and my relationship with both ambition and achievement are shifting and changing as I'm getting older. So that's what we're going to talk about in today's episode of The Teas Made. I'm going to detail what productivity looked like when I was a younger woman and a younger mom, and how now in my mid-40s, I've changed my focus from prioritizing getting stuff done in favor of something a little more humane and human, and something that just feels so much more sustainable and authentic. I am also going to share some of the ways I approach deciding what to spend my time on today and how I make space for the things that matter without worrying about, quote, getting it all done, unquote. Okay, before we tackle that topic, I did want to talk a little bit about the tea I'm drinking today. So I'm actually recording this in the evening. And that's pretty unusual for me. I don't really record podcast episodes in the evening, really ever. But today was a very busy day. I had a doctor's appointment, and then I had to do a bunch of running around. And then it was so beautiful outside that I just wanted to stay outdoors. So fast forward now, it's almost 8 o'clock here. The sky is still bright. The birds are singing. And I just have more energy than I might have had if the sun had gone down like 2 hours ago. So I'm drinking an herbal blend. It's called Aphrodite. It is from one of my very favorite independent tea makers, Good Medicine Tea. I've talked about them on the show a lot before. Now, this tea is marketed as a women's tonic, and it is full of herbs that are well known as supportive of women's health and hormone health. For example, ashwagandha, that's an adaptogen, so good for stress management. Shatavari, great for hormone support. Rose, which is anti-inflammatory, good for your skin and nails. It has a really nice, kind of mildly tart hibiscus flavor and a hint of ginger and mint on the finish, and it's just really delicious. You know, it's funny, I can be so habitual about my tea drinking, and Warm Hugs, also from Good Medicine Tea, has been my go-to bedtime tea for over a year now, so it's kind of hard for me to drink another tea so close to bedtime. Like, oh no, what if I don't get my Warm Hugs in? But this is a great alternative, and I'm really enjoying it. So I will put a link to that in the show notes. Definitely check it out. Okay, so let's get into today's topic, and let's start with what productivity used to look like for me when I was in my late 20s and throughout my 30s, basically right up to the end of my 30s. So one of the things I used to do was basically cram as much as I possibly could into each individual day. And it was like I wanted every day to represent the full spectrum of experiences. I wanted every single day to be balanced in and of itself. So I wanted to have all of it represented: work, rest, play, all of it, right? It's actually kind of comical to think about how I would stay up like way later than was good for me just to make sure I could get in that TV show or that glass of wine or whatever pleasure I felt like I'd earned. And, you know, it made a lot of sense at the time because my days were so taken up with little kids and it was so hectic. And I felt like I really needed that break at the end of the day, or like that moment of pleasure, that stress relief, that thing I deserved. But in the end, what it meant was that I had a lot of really long days. I probably could have called it earlier, gotten better sleep, and actually felt a little more balanced overall. But those days, they were cramped. And that would often mean I was burning the midnight oil or trying to sort of cram multiple purposes into the same block of time. So maybe I'd be sitting in front of my computer at 8:30 at night with a glass of wine and listening to music and trying to sort of relax, enjoy myself, and work all at the same time. I'm not saying it didn't sometimes work. I was able to be quite productive and cram in a lot of writing and a lot of activity, but it just meant there was a lot of really long days. I don't know that I would choose to keep up that pace today, even if I could. I don't often work at night, like I said, and when I do, I can definitely tell that my mental abilities and capacity are just in a different place. And I like to go to bed early these days. So that is definitely something that's changed a lot. When I was younger, my days were really output oriented. So I wanted to see tangible results from my efforts. And that might include things like activities that would visibly advance my career or help me earn money or be really achievement oriented, something kind of braggable. And it often meant I was jumping from thing to thing to thing very reactively. A new opportunity would come in front of me and I would want to jump right on it because I had this real sense of scarcity or feeling like if I didn't move, that opportunity would go away and I might not ever have a chance to do that thing again. Now, here's the thing. Again, jumping on opportunities was great for my career in those days. It was really how I was able to do a lot of the things that I did. I didn't spend a lot of time debating or deliberating. I would just kind of jump on something and go for it. And I think it really paid off, but I just have a really different energy around the way I respond to opportunities now. I'm definitely not as quick on the uptake. And you know, right now I kind of don't want to be so quick on the uptake because the great thing about jumping on opportunities is that you get more opportunities. The not so great thing about jumping quickly on opportunities is that sometimes you sort of wind up jumping into things you later wish you hadn't. And that definitely happened to me in my 20s and 30s. A learning opportunity for sure, but a really different energy than I am bringing to the table right now. And of course, I never actually got everything done. Unfortunately, I think in those days, often the things that fell by the wayside were actually really important things that, looking back, I wish I had felt I had time to do. And that might be something like taking time to listen when other people were talking instead of kind of mentally jumping ahead to where I thought they were going with it so that I could get back to what I felt I needed to do. Visiting with older relatives or spending more time just dreaming and doing things that didn't have quite such an efficient purpose. Typically, the things that got done in those days were the things that sort of popped up in front of me and got my attention. Those things got done, but that doesn't mean I was actually getting it all done. And I think that's a really important distinction. If we're looking at someone's life and we think, how do they get it all done? Well, of course, we know they're not. Like, no one's doing everything. But often for me, when I was doing the things that other people noticed, it meant that there were a lot of really important things that weren't getting noticed and that I was not attending to. And so that's something I learned and carried forward into this stage of my life. And, you know, I was also leaning on a lot of conveniences back then, things that I wouldn't necessarily want to use now. And I'm not faulting myself for leaning on those conveniences. I had a lot on my plate. Life was kind of nuts. I did have 5 children. But when I really think about today, what I think of as a good life, it doesn't involve as many shortcuts as I was taking then that I felt like would open up time for me to work harder, be more efficient, be more productive, get more done, typically in a specific realm. So things like takeout or drive-through food, convenience products, stuff like that, I just don't find myself wanting to use those things as much these days. And that does limit my outward productivity, because if I'm spending time making food from scratch, for example, or making my own products, or just kind of taking the slower route with things I have to do just to live, I just don't have as much time for output. And right now, that is what I'm choosing very intentionally, actually. Now, it's almost impossible to put myself back in, like, let's say my 32-year-old shoes or my 35-year-old shoes and say, if I could do it all over again, what paid work would I still take on? How would I arrange my life around it? I was dealing with very different economic forces back then. I was trying to establish my career, whereas now I'm a little bit more in a position where I can, I'm not going to say coast because I'm definitely not coasting, but I've kind of done a lot of that foundational work that I can now build on a little more slowly. And in those days, I really felt all the time like I had to do more, 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 especially with my career. And now in retrospect, I'm not sure that was actually true. And I definitely don't think it was always the healthiest way of being. I mean, it seemed like I had the energy for it all, but I do think it took a toll on me. And so I just, looking back, I don't fault myself for that. But it has helped me sort of learn and discern some ways that I want to treat this stage of my life a little differently. And I think that is really common. Like, I think pretty much everyone I know my age has had some kind of reckoning with the ambition of their younger years and how they want to bring that forward and if they want to bring that forward and how it looks. So again, not criticizing myself. It's just one pretty notable way that I feel different now, or that I learned from that stage of my life and brought a different energy forward.
Okay, friends, you have already heard me talk about my new Uptown loafers from our sponsor, Vionic. I love these versatile, classic, and comfy slip-on shoes, and the Uptown loafer is part of the Vionic Vitals collection, which is what I want to tell you about today. Vionic Vitals contains some of Vionic's most versatile daily styles. So if you've been curious about Vionic but are overwhelmed by all the choices, start with the Vitals collection first. The Willa Flat was my very first Vionic style, and I have been in love with it for years. I'm also eyeballing the Chardonnay heeled sandal for summer date nights. Like all of Vionic's footwear, the shoes in the Vionic Vitals line are super comfortable, stable, and supportive with Vionic's exclusive VioMotion technology. Go to vionicshoes.com/vitals to find the Vitals collection and use the code TEASEMADE at checkout for 15% off your entire order, plus free shipping when you log into your account. That code is good for a one-time use only, so be sure to make the most of it. That's TEASEMADE, TEASEMADE, for 15% off your entire order at vionicshoes.com.
Okay, so let's compare the way I felt about productivity, sort of my relationship with achievement and ambition and my to-do list from 15 years ago to today. So today, my days still feel really full. I'm not sitting around watching a bunch of TV or anything. There's still stuff happening, but there's just a slower pace. And I think it's actually true that in some ways I am producing less, but I actually think what's more true is that I'm producing less of the things that people on the outside might notice. So I'm cranking out way less content. I'm doing fewer freelance jobs. I'm not posting nearly as much to social media, really hardly at all right now. Definitely not blogging almost every day the way I was when my kids were young. So the literal definition of productivity is being in a state of producing, right? And so if you look at it that way, it might be true that I'm actually less productive than I used to be. But like I said, my days still feel really full, in a healthy way. And I feel like a lot of things are happening. So what does that actually mean? I think that there's a few things going on, but for the most part, I think that the things I'm focusing on doing with my time, they just aren't things that look to the outside world like getting stuff done. So then I wrote down some ways that I feel like my relationship with productivity is different these days. And one of them is that today I kind of let a day be what a day is. So before I was saying that when I was younger, I would often try to cram like every single experience into a day. Like every day had to be a complete sort of cycle through all the possible human experiences. But today I know now that I'm going to have some days that are just more rest than work, more pleasure than work. And then I'm going to have days that are mostly work and very little recreation, very little relaxation. And I would rather just go to bed instead of trying to sort of cram in the relaxation at the end of the night, because for me, that's no longer relaxing. It actually is counterproductive. Now, was it counterproductive for me 10 or 15 years ago? I don't really know. I can't remember it well enough. I can't really put myself in those shoes enough to know for certain, but I just know now I am happy to call a day, let it be what it is, and just wrap it up on whatever note it needs to end on. So that's one thing that is really different these days for me. Another thing, instead of sort of frenetically jumping from task to task to task just to try to cram in as many things as I possibly can, today I tend to anchor my days with non-negotiables. So that might be things like caring for the chickens, taking a walk. Every morning I have like early morning tea and spend time with Eric, then get the kids up, have morning time with them. They go to school. I have evening time with them. And then I have later evening time with Eric. And this is really different from when I had little kids, when they were just always around me. And I know that's a luxury I just didn't have way back then, that I can sort of compartmentalize my days in that way. But those do feel kind of like the big rocks that I'm trying to anchor my day around. I've also got my deadlines, my essential work tasks. That might be stuff like recording a podcast episode. It might be responding to emails, working on my book, working on a Substack post, any contract work I've agreed to do. So I've always got some things like that that I'm working on, things that I just need to be doing or have to be doing. And that's the same now as it was a long time ago. But I think what's different now is that those non-negotiables are really the thing I'm sort of structuring my day around, as much as the deadlines, as much as the work tasks, because I know for my health, it's really important that I get those walks in. I need to go take care of the chickens, and I really want to take care of the chickens. And so that has to be something I set aside time to do. The time with my husband, the time with my kids, like it can be very intentional now in a way that was harder to pull off when I just had little kids like up in my business all the time. Now, one thing I think is really different is whatever time is left, and there's always time or almost always time or space left in my day, even when I've gotten those other things done. And sometimes it's not a lot of time, but there's some. The stuff that I tend to fill in the spaces between with are usually things now that I really want to do that don't look very productive to the outside. So that might be stuff like reading. Sometimes I spend a lot of time reading. And for a long time, reading was something I really relegated to a very small percentage of my day. Working on longer form writing projects that I might never try to publish. They might never get out there in the world. They don't look like productivity. Spending time outside, that might be walking, like going for really long walks. It might be going and foraging on our property. It might just be hanging out at the beach in the summertime. Sometimes just sitting outside on our deck and watching the birds. There's lots of ways I incorporate spending time outside into my life nowadays, and it really has nothing to do with productivity. I'm not getting anything done that anybody can see. Playing in the kitchen. I did an episode about this not too long ago, but all the different sort of projects and fun things I'm working on in the kitchen, I don't look at it as utilitarian as I might have 10 or 15 years ago, where I was just trying to get everyone fed so I could get back to the business of life and work. Now I'm really enjoying and leaning into that time, just sort of playing. And so I just rattled off a few things that I'm doing with that time that's not spent on those essentials or those sort of anchor activities. But I think what they all have in common is that they really don't have anything to do with what other people might think of as productivity. In fact, a lot of the time, no one sees me doing these things. So there just isn't that same level of sort of visible output anymore. that I once would have expected from myself and that maybe people would have expected from me. But they're really rewarding activities to sort of create a life with. And these days, I have a lot more patience with myself for doing things kind of slowly, imperfectly, inefficiently, because I do think that that process adds up to a rich and full life.
Okay, friends, I got my pair of Uptown loafers from our sponsor, Vionic, and I just had to tell you about them. They're cute and classic and really lightweight, and they do actually pack flat. I am definitely going to be taking these on all my spring travels, and I can see myself wearing them with everything from jeans and trousers to dresses and maybe a little later on shorts. I got them in camel leather, but they come in 12 different colors. The Uptown Loafer is part of the Vionic Vitals collection, which features some of their most versatile daily styles. And of course, you know you can count on your Vionics to be super comfortable, stable, and supportive. Use code TEASEMADE at checkout for 15% off your entire order at vionicshoes.com when you log into your account. That code's good for a one-time use only at vionicshoes.com, and again, you're going to get 15% off your entire order. I'll also have a link to that offer on my shop page, and you can find that in the show notes. Again, the code is TEASEMADE, TEASEMADE, at vionicshoes.com. Vionic Shoes, wearable well-being for your feet.
Another thing that I do differently and I think a lot better than I used to is that I really work with my energy cycles. So I've recognized for a long time that my energy really goes up and down over the course of a month and also from season to season. But when I was younger, I knew that was happening, but I wasn't as good at like leaning into those cycles. I would actually often feel kind of bad or sheepish about them. And I've now realized that if there's a day that I'm just not feeling it, and this is often in that creative or mental energy space where I just can't tap into what I need to get traction on a project, it's actually way better for my long-term productivity just to give into that feeling and do something else. And that doesn't mean I just necessarily give up on the whole day and like go to bed at 4 o'clock, although I do occasionally do that. I will sometimes call quits quite early in the day, but that's when I'm super exhausted or feel like I'm getting sick or something. More often, it just looks like switching up the kind of work I'm doing to something that's a better fit for that place in the energy cycle. I've actually had a few articles recently come into my line of sight about how women really operate on a 28-day energy cycle and the work world is set up around a man's energy cycle, which is more like a 24-hour cycle. And that really resonated with me because I thought, oh, that makes so much sense. Of course it does. Like our hormones are fluctuating all through the month. And so of course it would impact how we feel about the work we're doing or the work we really feel equipped to do on that day. So I definitely think this is something I'm just a lot better about giving myself a lot of grace around now and leaning into and sort of making the most of, because sometimes I have really focused energy. Sometimes I have bursts of creativity. Sometimes I have a lot of physical energy. And on a day when I'm just not feeling capacity in one of those areas, there's no point trying to force it. Another thing that I definitely do a little differently now is that I ruthlessly ditch things that aren't working. Now, this might not seem like a new thing because I've always been someone who loves a new challenge. I used to joke that I've never met a pivot I didn't like. But I think what's different now is that I'm better at determining whether something isn't working and isn't going to work. Like maybe on a really deep level, there's something about a project I'm doing or a job I'm doing or something I'm trying to pursue that's just not right. And sometimes it's just a temporary blip. Like sometimes I just don't feel good. Sometimes I'm just not in the mood, or maybe my energy is a little bit low. And I've really learned how to discern between the two, which makes me a lot less reactive. So now I'm better about giving myself breaks and not fixating all the time about whether I'm on the right path or not. It's like I know I'm on a path, and whether or not it's the right one is kind of subjective. Who knows, right? So I feel like I'm a little more willing to stick with things until a new path or the right decision becomes clear. but I will still ruthlessly cut something out if it doesn't work anymore. And so it's kind of like an old superpower that I have learned to hone in midlife, which is really valuable, has actually been very useful to me quite recently in a couple different ways. And maybe I'll do an episode about that soon, about how to let things go or how to know when it's time to walk away. But I think the flip side of this is that now when I decide to stick with things, I'm just a lot more consistent with them. Because first of all, I don't take as many things on. Like I said a little earlier, I'm not just sort of madly jumping from thing to thing, trying to produce. I'm taking on fewer things. So then I have fewer things to try to juggle, to try to fixate on. And then the space I've allowed for each thing makes it possible for me to create workflows and to get the right kind of help and just to structure and organize my days and my weeks around that more limited number of tasks. And that just means I can keep going without getting that really overwhelmed or harried feeling that I think I was just kind of running on adrenaline when I was younger, because I think I was running on both the thrill of having a lot of things that I was juggling, but also the fear of dropping a ball that was in the air. That really kept me sharp and it really kept me on point. But I also think when I was younger, it did create a feeling of not being able to take a breath. And I will say, when I was in my early divorce period, like the first couple of years, I really crashed from that. And I crashed pretty hard. Now, I was also getting a divorce, so there was a lot going on there. But I do think it's useful for me to look back at that now, because I think it helps inform the way I do everything now, from setting up my to-do list to creating my workflows to creating the structures of my weeks to deciding what's really important. Like, what are those big rocks that I'm going to put in the jar first to make sure they get done, because they're really important things, even if they don't look like anything to anyone on the outside, even if they will never show output. I can walk every single day, miles a day, and there's never going to be an output from that, but it's still worth doing. It doesn't look like productivity, but it's one of those things that helps make my life good. Okay, friends, this was such an interesting exercise. Again, I have so much compassion and respect for the younger version of myself. She was trying so hard to get so much done and to be so impressive. But you know, I do wish I had gone a little easier on that version of myself sometimes. I really expected a lot of her. And I don't think all of that productivity I expected of myself was necessary. And that's the thing I try to keep in mind now when I'm feeling a little sheepish about my productivity levels, or I'm wondering where my energy or my focus or my get up and go got up and went. It's so useful to remind myself that I'm learning a lot in my 40s, and I'll continue to learn as I get older about how to create a life that feels livable and rich and full in all the best ways without being this sort of frenetic leap from achievement to achievement to achievement. I'm going to be writing about this topic for my blog this week, and you can find that at theteasemade.com. I'd love to hear from you there if you can relate to any of this, or you can send me an email at meganfrancis@gmail.com. That's meganfrancis@gmail.com. Let me know how you're feeling about productivity these days, or how your relationship with ambition and achievement has changed over the years. I can't wait to hear from you.
That's all for this episode of The Teas Made. You can find links to the products and other things we talked about today in the show notes for this episode. You can find that by scrolling down below the episode in your podcast app, or you can go to theteasmade.com and find all the episodes, plus resources, links to my favorite teas and books and other products, and so much more. I share new episodes every Thursday, so please follow or subscribe so you don't miss a thing. And while you're in your podcast app, I would love if you'd leave a rating or review. It really helps me out so much. Okay, friends, that's all for now. I will talk to you again very soon. If you're enjoying the Teas Made podcast, I would love for you to check out my blog, which is also called The Teas Made. We're doing something called the So Slow Book Club, where I'm writing about the same book all year long, and I'm writing regular essays on everything from sending kids to college to why and what I'm loving creating in the kitchen these days. When you subscribe for free, you'll get my posts in your email inbox, or you can jump in on the conversation over at my page. I also have some optional goodies for paid subscribers that you're going to want to check out too. Spring is here, and I have a long list of topics I'm planning to cover. Everything from updated skincare recommendations to some recipes for fun spring-themed beverages. Come join the conversation about connection and creativity at thetismade.com.